Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We consider topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And for the Topic Hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide range of different subjects. And I combine a debate topic with an arts interview in the show because I feel that discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. And if you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website. It's a question of balance. And you can hear podcasts there of past shows. You can connect with me on social media. So again, that's itsaquestionofbalance.com. And as I mentioned, It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour. And right now we're featuring Out and About. And during that, we consider topics with local relevance and global significance. The idea being to get us thinking about the questions that affect us all, to stimulate new thinking or clarify what we already feel, to hear other people's opinions, which may differ from or be similar to our own. And this week, after the inauguration of the president here in the USA, our question is, what now, USA? And I went out and interviewed people at the Santa Cruz Women's March to find out what they would like from the new president and administration and why. I spoke to both men and women and people aged 18 to over 80. So let's hear some of the interviews now. And the first people I spoke to were Randall and then Virginia. Let's hear their thoughts. Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Randall Bruce.
Well, we're here today at the Santa Cruz Women's March. You're holding a sign that says, "Has the President grabbed your pussy today?" And what I'm asking people today is, if you could say something to the new president and the new administration, what would you like to say? And how would you relate that to your own experiences or a story from your own life that's made you feel that way?
Well, first of all, I am a gay man, so I sort of know the being picked on and oppression and the bully. And I would like to ask the new administration to stop being bullies and stop being racist and stop being misogynistic and stop being all of the horrible things you are. And maybe watch some interviews with President Obama and see how a respectful, intelligent person behaves, because that's sort of what we need as a president. I know we're kind of stuck with them, but it doesn't mean they have to keep acting like idiots.
Right. How do you think we can move forward in a way that is inclusive of all Americans? Because the division in America has been very destructive, and of course this election has made it even more divided. How do you think we can move forward to try and, you know, find some shared values?
Well, I think deep down inside, most people would like us all to get along and pull together and be one country. I think that's just a sort of a natural human aim. But they're finding it hard to do that because I don't know if it's the internet or cable news or whatever, but people have just, instead of thinking outside the box and listening to other people, they retreat into what they refer to as their own bubble, and they only want to hear what they already know, and that doesn't add to growth, and it doesn't add to mutual respect, and it doesn't add to the things we need to make it possible for us to move forward. And when I was growing up, I've always had the feeling that, you know, this is America. all the people. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter how you voted. It doesn't matter who you vote for. But we all need to have mutual respect for one another, and we all need to care about one another. I mean, I care about people having health care. I care about people having rights. I care about other people. And even Republicans. I mean, I hope they have health care. I hope they have rights.
Yes.
It's not a Democrat thing.
I mean, that's what hopefully the organizers wanted from this march, was it to not necessarily be against Trump, but be supporting values and supporting minorities and supporting civil rights. Is that how you see it, standing up for those values?
I do see it as standing up for those values. I think they're American values.
Yes.
You know?
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your thoughts.
All right. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
And thank Mother Nature for the beautiful weather for this last couple of hours.
I know. My name's Ruth Copland. I'm from the radio show It's a Question of Balance. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Virginia Fordyce.
So we're doing a topic this week, What Now USA? What would you like to say to the president and the new administration if you could, and why, you know, related to your own experiences, you know?
There are so many things I'd like to say to him, but one is keep your hands off Planned Parenthood. I had four daughters. I'm 80 years old. Two of my daughters had abortions, or they wouldn't have made it through college. And I am happy to say they are healthy, moral women and successful.
So for you, that's an issue of personal morality, not something the government should be involved in?
Definitely.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to say, or is that your main reason?
No,
for...
I'd like to say I would also like him to let up on the Mexican people who are just really, have really been insulted lately. I don't like that one bit. This state would not run without Mexican people.
Right. And I'm wondering, you know, how do you think the administration can move forward in a more inclusive way? Because obviously, especially the president, is the president of everybody, even if you didn't vote for him. Do you have any thoughts on how, you know, he might approach that?
He might offer better people for the cabinet. Mm-hmm.
So you feel that that's a more partisan than other previous cabinets?
Absolutely. Absolutely more partisan, yes.
Okay. And what made you actually come out on the street to stand for these things?
Well, I've been doing this since 1960s when we went into the Vietnam War, and I've been out there every time somebody was needed to be out there, because I think if you don't speak, you know, you deserve what you get.
Yeah. So you feel this is a time when we do really need to not wait and see?
Absolutely.
We need to do something?
Absolutely. I want him to understand that people all over this country and the world, incidentally, are just really up in arms about some of the things he's said.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll be listening to your new radio show, I hope.
Well, thank you.
You're listening to It's Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this week for the Topic Hour, I'm featuring interviews that I did with participants at the Women's March here in Santa Cruz in California. There was a very big turnout. So just getting people's impressions of What Now USA, what they'd like to say to the president and the new administration. And the purpose of the Topic Hour, of the questions that we ask, is to try and get us thinking. And sometimes we might hear views that are similar to our own. Sometimes they might be wildly different. But the idea is to just try and feel into it and hopefully stimulate some of our own thoughts about what we think about things, and maybe change our perspective in whatever direction. So the next person that I spoke to out on the streets of Santa Cruz here in California was James. So let's hear his thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
James Ike Minton.
Well, thanks so much for stopping to talk. And I'm wondering if you had the opportunity to say something to the president and the new administration, what that would be and why?
Everybody has a voice, and we need to learn to pay more attention to those individual voices and to come together collectively to work towards a more common America.
So Obviously, the president is supposed to represent all people. I'm wondering how you feel the best way to move forward would be to try and be more inclusive of the people who didn't vote for Trump.
Listen.
Right, okay. And you have a sign that says 1 in 6 men are survivors, so I'm wondering, and on the back, let's see, of sexual assault and abuse. So obviously a lot of people were very disturbed by his comment that money and power could buy you the right to sexually assault somebody. How do you feel about that from a male perspective?
Yes.
It's never okay to sexually assault anyone, male or female, or use positions of power to gain that kind of access to any other person. And in men, women, it doesn't matter. And nobody should have that kind of right.
Is that one of the things that upset you most? Is that about, you know, the values that are being presented by this presidency?
It does now, honestly, because the more I progress in my life, the more I try to forget. And that's unfortunate, because everybody who has gone through that kind of experience wants to become a survivor.
Right, yes.
And they may not get that chance because people don't listen to them and listen to their stories, right. Listen to the validity of what's going on and the things that people encounter in their lives on a day-to-day basis. Regardless whether it's sex assault, racial injustice, or anything else like that, we have to listen to other people as individuals and learn what their stories have to say and how that can be inclusive in the rest of what America is going to face in the future, because the only way we're ever going to get past this is together.
Obviously, the president is supposed to be the president for everybody. Do you think that is possible when the country's so divided, or seemingly so divided?
There are always going to be chances to disagree with somebody, and I think it's really hard to find somebody who you agree with 100% all the time. That being said, that just increases the need to listen more.
Right.
Because with great power comes great responsibility. I think Abraham Lincoln said that.
Yes.
And with the power that he has, he absolutely has to have more compassion and listen more to people about their stories, especially like what's going on today with the Women's March.
Yes.
I mean, it's never okay to be abusive of power in any type of relationship, to exploit that kind of relationship, whether it's sexually, racially, or economically, politically, or anything like that.
Right.
And this is a message that not only women today are marching for, but everybody today is marching for.
Right, yes. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplan. Right now, we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street. And I thought that I would go and speak to people at the Women's March here in Santa Cruz in California, just to get a sense of what people were actually thinking. Our topic this week is What Now, USA? And what would you like to say to the president and the new administration if you could have the chance? If you have any thoughts about our topic discussion, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplan? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And I was just saying before the break now, if you have any thoughts about our topic discussion, my conversations on the street this week, do email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. That's ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. And this week, if you've just joined us, we're considering what now, USA? I thought it might be interesting to go out to the Santa Cruz, California Women's March to find out what people would like from the new president and administration and why. So let's hear my conversation now with Michelle, Nicolette and Erica. Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you very much for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Michelle.
Nicolette.
Erica.
Well, thanks so much for stopping and talking to me. And this week we're considering what now, USA. I'm wondering what you would like to say to the new president and administration, if you could, and perhaps share a story or experience from your own life as to why you want to say what you do to the president.
I wish they would not stop Obamacare. Everybody needs to be taken care of, and everybody deserves health care.
Right.
And I'm personally upset with that because there's so many people that don't have it, and they suffer.
So it's for you, it's more about other people and making sure that everybody is taken care of rather than you especially need it yourself?
Personally, me, I've been sexually abused, and anybody that was sexually abused does not like this president because that is a thing of power and control, not of a substance that my president should have.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of people were very disturbed by his comments for that reason, that they felt like it, you know, was taking us back in time, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like I'm back in the 60s again.
In what way?
Our rights being threatened and other people's rights being threatened. That's not what I see America to be.
Right. Some people say we should wait and see, you know, give him a chance. Why are you feeling it's important right from the get-go to make a stand for certain values?
I don't trust him.
Okay.
Trust him. He says one thing and then he comes back and says another.
Right.
That's not a person of integrity.
No. Okay. What about you? What would you like to say to the president and the administration?
As an educator, his choice to nominate Betsy DeVos as our education secretary is like a punch in the gut. The person who holds that position needs to have compassion and understand what our children need, and she has neither of these. I work in a school district with a lot of English language learners and a lot of children who need and deserve the resources that we get from that federal money, and the thought that it's being threatened is very frightening for all of us educators.
So is education one of the primary things for you in this administration?
It is one of my primary concerns, and also women's reproductive rights. I am not personally affected by abortion, but I have close friends and family members who had to make that difficult decision when they were very young, and had the resources not been available to them, their lives would be very different today. So I think it's very important that women maintain the right to make their own decisions about their reproductive health.
And also, you know, making it just about abortion really simplifies an issue that's quite complex, because women don't get pregnant on their own, and there's a lot of reasons why someone might find themselves in that position with no help or whatever, and that, you know, those things are as important as that, you know, needing to take care of that situation.
And for us to remember that Planned Parenthood isn't just about abortions, it's about providing education and health care to women that have nowhere else to get it.
Amen.
Right. And obviously the president is the president for the whole of America. I mean, it's supposed to be. So how do you think we can move forward, or he could move forward in a more inclusive way, to not just make it seem like he's only the president and the people who voted for him?
I think he needs to be more transparent and honest with the American people. The fact that he has withheld his tax returns from us and continues to refuse that information, I think that would go a long way maybe to earn some trust with the American people and, you know, allow us the opportunity to vet his nominations for the various cabinet positions.
Yeah.
Is something that I think would perhaps build some bridges, but I just don't see him doing that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's important to him, quite honestly. I think he wants America to be divided.
Right, because he's just playing to his supporters.
It's easier for a dictator to rule over people when they're fighting amongst themselves.
That's true. And what about you? What would you like to say?
I really think just access to healthcare in general. I'm asthmatic, and so that would be considered a pre-existing condition and could exempt me from healthcare. But also going back to reproductive rights, I got my first IUD from Planned Parenthood, and being able to have power and control over my own reproductive rights has given me the ability to continue my education, to get a master's degree, and not have to discontinue that because I have a child and that needs my attention and care. I've been able to focus on my career and do really good things as a social worker, and so work with homeless people, work with veterans, work with people that have had issues with incarceration, get into politics. And so I don't think that it would have been as easy for me to do those things had I not been able to have control over my own reproductive rights.
Well, and of course, obviously, contraception has a huge impact on the level of abortion, which is often overlooked.
Yes, I've been posting a lot about that recently, and I don't understand how people don't see the correlation between having access and education about reproduction and to contraception has been the number one thing that has reduced the number of abortions. And so I think reducing the number of abortions is a good thing, and blocking access to the one thing that's going to do that, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Finally, I don't know if you're aware, but there's been marches all around the world today in solidarity with the values that people are marching for. Do you, I mean, obviously, you know, 60 million people voted for Trump, but he obviously doesn't represent everyone. Are you concerned about what his election is making the other, you know, the rest of the world think about America?
It's really concerning because I don't think that he represents all of the values that America has and is very the antithesis of what most people value. And unfortunately, I think because some people are so concerned about one or two topics that they voted for him, not looking at the whole picture of what that means to have him be in power. And also that he's not following through with the things that he says. He talks about draining the swamp, but then all of the billionaires and the oil tycoons are the ones that are coming in that he's appointing. And I don't understand how people don't see that dichotomy and are not more upset.
Yes, yeah. Well, it does seem that they're, you know, he's against the political elite, but then of course in America there's a financial elite as well, and that seems to be well represented.
Yeah, unfortunately, some of these folks may have never been involved in politics, but they were the ones that were funding the politics. And so now the people that were behind the scenes, you know, choosing what's happening are now going to be in the front and center. And so I don't really see the difference from having these billionaires versus our career politicians.
Yeah, I also think it's a good point you made that seemingly, you know, a lot of what I've seen is that people who voted for Trump were really most concerned about economic issues, and they were willing to just push aside like everything else. You know, it didn't matter that
the economy is the lowest it's been in years, 10 years. I don't understand how people.
You mean the best it's been?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The lowest
unemployment. Right. Yes.
And the economy is the best it's been in 8 years. I don't know what people are thinking.
Yeah.
They're in their own little world where they have their own economic problems instead of looking outside of their own little state or whatever. So they're hooked on thinking he's going to bring things back. Mm. Businesses bring things back, not our president.
What I'm wondering is that out of those 60 million who voted for him, if they were the majority were doing it for economic reasons, then there's more hope that they may share values with the people who didn't vote for him. I mean, even though right now they've just done this blinkered thing of like, well, we're not going to worry about all of that. Perhaps there's, you know, trying to be hopeful, more chance that, you know, they do have some shared values with the people who didn't vote for him.
But I think there were other things at play. I think that there were a lot of people that didn't come out to vote, but there was also a lot of voter suppression, and there was also a lot going on with misinformation, whether it be on Facebook, whether it be in misleading ads. And so I think those combined things, it's not just, oh, these people voted because of this one thing. There was all these different things going on, and even with Russia interfering with the election. And so I think there was just so many things at play, and everyone's not getting upset enough about the fact that Russia interfered or that there was voter suppression. People are just kind of like, what can I do about it, and letting it go, and they shouldn't.
Well, maybe one thing that will come out of this is that more people will vote next time, let's hope.
And get involved. And get more involved with all kinds of things.
Yeah.
My biggest hope is that that since this is reigniting so many different issues, whether it be issues of equality, whether it be women's rights, I think people had become complacent and stopped really having a voice. And so I really feel like this has reawakened the good fight, and that once everything comes crashing down and burning, that it gives an opportunity for some more radical change and for people to continue to engage and re-engage in the political system, but also for all these women's rights and for equality. And so I'm really hoping that something good down the road is going to come from all of this.
And I think, you know, respect for all, because you should be able to be different in this world and still be able to tolerate and respect other people.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, What Now USA? And I decided it might be interesting to go and talk to people at one of the women's marches. So I covered the Santa Cruz, California Women's March and asked people what they would like to say to the president if they could. And the idea of this topic hour is to try and get us thinking whether the opinions are similar to our own or different. And I'd love to hear from you. If you want to tell me whether your opinions are similar or different, you can email me ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, next up, I spoke to Paul. Let's hear what he had to say.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name's Paul Goldberg.
Well, thanks for talking to me today. And what I'm asking people is, what would you like to say to the president and the new administration, and why? You know, how does that relate to your own personal experience? And I see also you have a little child and you have a toddler against Trump's sign. So what would you like to say and why?
Well, that's such a huge question. There's many issues where I believe the new administration's policy is heading in our country in a disastrous direction, and particularly for my daughter, my 20-month-year-old named Vivian, her future is on the line. In particular, the abandonment of science as a driving policy influencer, that climate change, to erase that from the White House website on day one, to move in just a disastrous direction, affects our, not only our nation's prosperity, not only the short term, but for the future, for our, the next generations to come. So what I would say to the new administration is, please recognize science, listen to the community of intelligent and focused professionals out there to influence policy. Don't listen to your policy advisors that come from industry and not from from research. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So this march was touted as being in support of certain values rather than against Trump. Is it more for you about being against something than standing for something?
Well, it's just, it's day two, right? So it's hard not to be against. I totally agree with the being for values, for fighting climate change. It's hard not to come from that antagonistic perspective, because his values are so opposite from what the values of this march and my personal values really are and what they represent. So, yeah, you're 100% right. Being for things are much better than being against.
Obviously, the president is supposed to be the president of all people, even though they're never elected by all the people. I mean, how do you feel he could go forward in the best way to try and achieve that sense for everybody that we have a president that can represent us all? Or is that even possible? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a huge question. And certainly, he didn't even win the popular vote. Let's be honest, 2.8 million votes behind the second place person, let alone 50%, whatever those actual statistics are. Less than half of the country even voted, right? And then less than half of those folks are the ones who supported this administration. So there is no mandate for this administration's policies. There is no mandate for it.
Do you think it's possible that we share some values across the nation that are not represented by political party?
Definitely, there are. It's, you know, the discourse is so divisive right now. It's really hard to imagine a situation after the last 8 years and how the opposition party obstructed at every turn, how we can come together after such a divisive election, after such a polarizing figure, someone who seems to embrace authoritarian and fascist tendencies. It's really, I would hope we can come together. At the same time, I embrace living in Santa Cruz, embrace living in California, and really embrace the prospect of a rebel state and really, really a community and a larger community, a state, as large as California that could embrace certainly rebellion.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Sure, thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, What Now, USA? We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more of my conversations after these messages.
I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Bookshop Santa Cruz is celebrating 50 years of independent bookselling in the community that we love. Visit Bookshop Santa Cruz downtown and join in the festivities as we celebrate our customers and the books that make it all possible. Bookshop Santa Cruz, celebrating an amazing 50 years in downtown Santa Cruz.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Danielle, and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And if you're a regular listener, you know that It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour. If you are not a regular listener, then I'm now telling you that we do. And right now we're featuring Out and About, thought-provoking conversations on the street, where I go on the street and ask people their views on different topics. And this week we're considering What Now USA. I decided it might be interesting to cover one of the women's marches. I went to the one in Santa Cruz, California, and asked people, What Now USA? And if you have any thoughts on this topic discussion, please do email me, ruth@itsquestionofbalance.com. I'm always interested to hear your thoughts, and also if you have any suggestions for other topics that you'd like me to cover, or also arts guests that you would like me to interview. So again, that's ruth@itsquestionofbalance.com. Well, the last people that I spoke to this week for the topic were university students Erin and Michelle. So let's hear what they had to say. Hi, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Erin.
I'm Michelle.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me. And I'm asking people if you could say something to the new president and the new administration, what that would be and why. You know, you've got some great signs here. Keep your policies off my body. And what was on the other side? Quality men do not fear equality. And our rights are not up for grabs, neither are we. And women's rights are human rights. So if you could say something to them, what would it be and why? You know, what is it in your life? You're both quite young. What is it in your own lives that have inspired you to come out today and make stand?
Well, I've had friends of sexual assault, people in my life. And for our new president to even say something about women like that, grabbing them by the pussy, is so not okay, and it just shows like really what kind of person he is, what kind of person's in charge of our country. I'm not okay with that, and for somebody to just blow it off, oh, it was something said a while ago, like no big deal, like that's a very big deal, and I do not feel like our president Donald Trump, well, that's disgusting to say, really cares about women's rights, and we need to show him that it's a very big issue and it's still very relevant in our lives, and we're here, we're not going to just stand there. We're going to protest and we're going to fight back to every little thing he does. And they're not. I don't want them to defund Planned Parenthood. I'm super pro-life and, I mean, pro-choice. Oh, my God, I screwed that up. But I'm very pro-choice, okay. And I'm not here to defend my rights. Yeah.
Well, some would argue you can be pro-life and pro-choice. So, you know, I think it's a lot of people feel it's a question of personal morality, not something the government should be involved in.
It's a right. It's women's right. It's our body, and we can do what we want.
Yeah. And what about you? Why are you here, and what would you like to say?
Well, Erin personally spoke about having her friends being victims of sexual assault. I personally am a victim of sexual assault, and I would be able to like to have justice served for those people who deserve it and violate women's because they're women, simply. And I just really like to question like why he would think that hate is such a good idea, like building a wall, keeping out immigrants and people, and having people illegally like deported or whatever, even though they're like immigrants here. And I feel like America was built on the fundamentals of immigrants. We are a country of immigrants, and I don't think that any human should be illegal. And I personally just feel like
you're first generation American, right?
I am first generation American. Most of my friends are first generation Americans, and I just feel like it would be really nice to be built on a country of love rather than hate and discrimination and prejudice.
You are?
I'm 18.
Okay, so I mean there is a disturbing statistic. I think it's 1 in 4 women will have been sexually assaulted by the age of 18. So obviously you and myself are fulfilling that statistic. So is that the most important thing that you think you would like the president to know, that his sort of what he might see as throwaway kind of bragging remarks are actually really important to how women are treated?
I think it's very, very important. I think that because women barely speak out if they're sexually assaulted. I personally never spoke out until this year, and I actually seeked help this year, thanks to my roommate. But I think it's very important because we deserve to be able to voice our opinions, voice what happened to us, and not be afraid of being judged by other people, because I feel like for the longest time that I never said anything because I was scared that people would look at me differently. Because I'm a girl, they would think that I was the one at fault, or I was lying about it, or that I was intoxicated, so I deserve to be raped or whatever.
Yes. Did you see the film The Hunting Ground?
Mm-mm.
I interviewed the filmmakers from that. It's a film about sexual assault on college campuses, and about some young women who actually started suing colleges for not prosecuting the perpetrators because they were saying it was a Title IX issue, that they weren't actually providing a safe environment for women. So I would suggest, you know, watching that film for solidarity. Yeah, definitely. So obviously the president is the president of everybody. I mean, what do you think he can do if he wants to try and help everybody feel that he's more inclusive?
Well, yesterday, I didn't really look this up, but I saw this on Twitter. Apparently, the climate change, like part of the website, and the LGBTQ website, it's already down, and it's like been one day. Like,
yeah.
Not do crap like that. It will make us feel like he cares, and that if he maybe like on Martin Luther King Day, I heard he didn't even go to the African American Memorial Museum. He didn't go. Little things like that really make a difference, and maybe the like he's not just the small percent of the people's presidents that voted for him that believe in his policies. He's everybody's president, and he needs to make everybody feel like he will represent them in office. And I don't feel that way at all. I feel like he's representing the 1%, just like a lot of the presidents in the past have. And it's just a really heartbreaking to me to go from a man like Obama to a man like Donald Trump.
Do you feel this is beyond party, though? It's not just that we've got a Republican president. You know, it's that we've got somebody who seems to be unaware of or uncaring about the rights of certain minorities.
Yes, it's not the Republican. They're very good, you know, Republican candidates. There are a couple I actually like, too, that I sit on some grounds with. But, you know, I just feel feel that Donald Trump is extremely ignorant. He only cares about the issues that he deems as important. That's how I kind of see it. And as a president, you can't just be on Twitter tweeting out at people like angrily, like makes me think like he has our nuclear codes. Like, oh, what if he's angry and wants to tweet? Maybe he'll send off, you know? And that's scary to me. It makes me not be able to sleep at night. And I just, it's very unsettling to me.
Is it important to you that so many people all around the world in other countries have marched today as well?
Yes. I saw one going on in Australia. I watched it live yesterday for like 30 minutes. It's really important. It almost feels like this isn't almost a political thing, but I feel like it's like a woman's thing, really, that all the women around the world are, and men too, are families even. They're coming here together, showing their support for women, showing their support for political correctness, showing their support for a president. They want a president that respects everybody and that really will like try to keep what Obama's done like there. Like,
yeah. I mean, with regard to sexual assault as well, I mean, it's generally a crime of power, and the fact that he was basically saying because he's rich and famous that he can sexually assault women, they won't say anything to him. I mean, personally, I felt was a very disturbing direction to go in for how everybody's treated. I mean, I wouldn't expect a woman to go up to a man and grab his crotch either, do you know what I mean? But I mean, it, obviously, it's more, you know, prevalent that women are treated in that way. Have you noticed any difference in how you've been treated since the election? I mean, we're obviously not in an area that perhaps would be a subject to that, but
yes, definitely. When I went back home for winter break, so that was through December and the beginning of January, I feel like men are now more comfortable than they were before to drive by in cars and catcall women. I could be walking.
Where is home for you?
San Jose.
Okay.
Yeah, so near the mall area. Generally, sometimes around later at night, or I was out with my friend, and we could be driving or we could be walking on the sidewalk. We'll have men pull over and be like, hey, sexy, or whatever, and then we'll be like, no, thank you. And she, my friend, the one who got catcalled with me, actually is now catcalled almost daily, driving out of her school, walking back on campus and stuff. Yeah, she's near the De Anza area, but she just keeps telling me how it's like not happened before, but then ever since Donald Trump was elected, it kind of gave them more power to do so. And I feel like it's horrible because it's not just Donald Trump that gained power. It's every single one of these racist, discriminatory bigots that also gain power.
And I think also, you know, we have to remember that most men don't behave like that and don't want to behave like that. But unfortunately, you know, it can create an illusion, you know, that it is men against women kind of thing. And I think that also is very disappointing about what's happening.
It's putting a lot of fear into the environment, I feel like. I just the other day, I was on Facebook, and I had a friend from childhood. She lives in Seattle now, and she got sexually assaulted outside a bank. A man grabbed her crotch, and like he literally whispered something about in her ear about like how it's Trump's America now.
How it's what?
Trump's America. And he grabbed her by the crotch.
Oh,
and
where was this?
In Seattle.
Seattle, wow. Okay.
And she had like a very scarring experience. Like the police were there, and it, like they didn't end up finding the man because he ran away. But like just that's like a norm, you know, like in this world is just like, now I feel like, but like you said, a lot of these men don't feel that way. And like by coming out here today, I really feel like they stand with us. And like seeing all this stuff around the world happening today makes people like, I feel like I'm in a community of people right now that we're all here for each other. We're all supporting each other. We're all fighting for the same thing. And even though this is a bad situation, it's good that like I feel like I'm in a community and I'm standing with hundreds and thousands and millions of people wanting our voices to be heard, our rights to be heard. And if we stand together throughout his presidency, we'll fight back, we'll do everything. And I think we can make our voices heard even with the people that are in charge. So
and think also the more, in a way, it can be made not a political issue, but an issue of human rights,
yes,
is important, because, you know, otherwise the country is just going to become more and more divided, and people will be just standing up for him because they feel they want to stand up for that party, rather than recognizing, look, we all should have rights to tolerance and, yes, you know, the right to be who we are.
And the right to pro-choice.
Right.
Yeah, that's a human right. That's not a political right either. That is a human right that everybody has. So, yes, I think that when I hear these people say, and during the campaign, I heard a ton of the Republican candidates say, oh, when I'm president, I'm going to defund Planned Parenthood, I'm going to shut it down, and, like, that terrifies me, and that's taking away our rights as women to do what we want to do with our bodies. If we want to have a child, we should be able to have a child. If we don't want to have a child, we don't have to have a child.
That honestly makes me really upset, too, because most of the single parents that I know, like, single mothers that I know, or, like, teen mothers or whatever, most of these, like, pro-life people I see are men who don't really understand how it feels to go through a pregnancy, obviously, because they're biologically not built that way. But the thing is that once they accidentally get a girl pregnant or anything, and abortion's not a choice for us, and yet they still choose to leave the woman, like, they're basically trapping us. We have no other choice. Like, this is another outlet that we as women should have, and then should be an option, because I feel like it can save both men and women from just miserable lives, and all these children,
unwanted children. Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, adoption, I hate when people say adoption is an answer or whatever, because there are millions of children still in the system waiting to be adopted. And what are you going to say about those children? Like, adoption is just, and I have so many friends who, like, honestly do not lead very happy lives, and they are the product of just accidental, like, pregnancies and stuff, and they were put into the adoption system, and they are not happy. Like, they say that sometimes they wish they would rather have been, like, terminated than have been given such a horrible life, because why have a child if you can't give them a happy life?
Yes. And also, of course, with Planned Parenthood, you know, it's providing contraception, which is one of the main ways to prevent abortion. So, you know, that's also not always taken into account.
My friend who was in the foster care system, who couldn't afford birth control, she got it from Planned Parenthood for 2 years in my hometown. I'm from LA. And, like, it really saved her. Like, it saved her life. And she's gotten Plan B from Planned Parenthood. She's gotten a pregnancy test from Planned Parenthood. I've gotten a pregnancy test from Planned Parenthood. Like, they do so much more than provide abortions. They really,
you know, pap smears and all kinds of things.
STD testing. It's just a really, and it's a safe space for women to go and to be helped.
Yeah, I mean, even, it's a safe place for men to go, even. Yeah, everybody can go there.
Everybody, exactly. So, I personally, I really am, I want to fight for Planned Parenthood, fight for my rights.
Well, thanks so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for the interview.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And thank you very much to all the people who took part in my on the street conversations this week. I thought it might be enlightening to go to one of the women's marches and find out what some of the people were thinking about what they wanted from the president, the new administration, and what values they wanted protecting. And the premise of my show, It's a Question of Balance, is exploring whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. And one of my hopes is that we really can find more in common than divides us as we move forward through this new political landscape, that we can find values that we can share to help the country be less divided than it seems right now. And the purpose of the topic hour is to ask questions that make us think. I hope that might have been your experience listening. Remember, you can email me, ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com, and do check out the website for podcasts you can listen to anytime. itsaquestionofbalance.com, both arts guests and previous topics. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again for the next show.